One of them is the cost of owning a Bible in India. It says, when Poonam quietly left Hinduism in 2012, the Bible she obtained instantly became her most prized possession. The young Indian wife and mother of three secretly read God's word in her home each day, growing in her understanding of God's love for her. But she feared that her husband would find out about her new faith, and he soon did. After overhearing her praying a Christian prayer one day, he found her Bible and angrily tore it to pieces. From today on, you stop reading the Bible, and as long as you live in this house, you better not pray, he scolded. Poonam's husband then beat her, eventually kicking her out of the house and refusing to let her see their young sons and daughter. Her Christian faith cost her everything. Now I'm going to stop right there, and I want us to grab our Bibles and go to Luke 14, please. Luke chapter 14. And verse 26. So this wasn't like 1,500 years ago. This wasn't 1,800 years ago. This was a few years ago. Okay? Luke 14, verse 26 says this, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It says, if you hate not your father, mother, wife, children, brethren, you can't be God's disciple. What was she willing to do? What was she willing to give up? And we won't give up an outfit, a movie, some form of entertainment, but we love Jesus. This woman was willing to give up everything. She was willing to give it all up. From there, go to Matthew 10:37, please. Help shed some light on what God means when he says hate. Matthew 10:37 says, let's look at verse 36 as well. It says, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So what's God saying? Our love for God should eclipse everything. That's what it means to hate your father, your mother, your brethren, your sisters, your wife. It means that your love for God eclipses and far outweighs your love for those people that are dear in your life. That you would choose God over them in an instant, in a heartbeat. That's essentially what it's saying, and that's what this woman did. She was living what the Bible says. In India, where a rise in persecution of Christians has paralleled the rise in Hindu nationalism, Bibles are a precious resource that helps new believers continue to grow in faith amid persecution. After losing her Bible and her family, Poonam stayed with relatives and prayed for the return of everything she had lost. A pastor and another believer who had lived near her, relatives visited Poonam regularly to pray with her. To her great joy, one day they gave her a new Bible provided by VOM, Voice of the Martyrs. Poonam burst into tears as she received the Bible. Over time, God answered Poonam's prayers, restoring her marriage and family. Although her husband has not placed his faith in Christ, his heart has softened toward Poonam and toward the Christian faith. He has even attended church a few times to see how Christians worship. Poonam reads and studies God's word using her new Bible, but she can't give up the tattered and torn Bible that her husband had tried to destroy. It is, after all, how she first learned about Jesus. She recently told a VOM worker that Isaiah 41:10 has special meaning for her. And I'm going to read it out of this because they don't get it right. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And boy, wasn't that real to her, I imagine. Imagine that was very real to her. She said, my Bible is everything to me. It is the living word of God. Without it, I cannot live. And there's a picture of her in here holding up the Bible that her husband tore to pieces. She says, that's precious to me. Is the Bible precious to us like that? Are we willing to give up everything for God? We ought to be. Here's another story I want to read to us. It's modern day again. This isn't yesteryear, some time we are disconnected from, don't understand, don't recognize. Pastor and wife are brutally assaulted by Hindu extremists in India. This article came out March 30th. It says the following is excerpted from Ferocity of Hindu Extremist Attacks Stuns Christians, the Morning Star News. And the Morning Star News article is dated March 21st, 2018. So this is, you know, a couple weeks ago. Before Hindu extremists attacking a church in southern India this month repeatedly kicked a pastor's wife in the face, rendering her unconscious. They tried to snatch her Bible from her. Persia Jacob, 38, clasped the Bible close to her heart as they tried to seize it. "I will die, but I can't do without the Bible," she said. "I will die, but I can't do without the Bible," she said. "I'll esteem thy words more than my necessary food." Who brought a Bible to church today? Curious. Can you do without your Bible? Curious. They wrestled the Bible from her hands and pushing and slapping her. They stripped her of her sari. I'm not sure exactly what that is. When she pleaded with them to loosen their grips and let go of her sari, a state-provided security officer who accompanied Hindu extremist ringleader Thangam Venkatesh in the March 11th attack on the church in Tamil Nadu state told her to prostrate at Venkatesh's feet and beg him to forgive her. Prostrate, lay yourself down flat like you're worshiping this ringleader and beg him to forgive you. She said, if you and your husband convert back to Hinduism right there, we will spare you alive, one of the assailants told her. If not, you will be brutally killed. When she struggled to keep from applying vermilion to her forehead, a sign of conversion to Hinduism, Venkatesh and his accomplices struck her in the face with the church building key, leaving a scar. Her husband, Pastor Ravi Jacob, told Morning Star News, from Sikandar Chavadi, the mob led by Venkatesh reached Kudul Perdur's Bethesda Worship Center, one of five churches they attacked that day, sources said. Pastor Jacob told Morning Star News that he went to Alanganallur Police Station in the evening after attending to the medical emergencies, but police refused to register the case. The hostile tone of the National Democratic Alliance government, led by the Hindu nationalist BJP, against non-Hindus, has emboldened Hindu extremists in several parts of the country to attack Christians since Prime Minister Narendra Modi took power in May 2014. Religious rights advocates say India ranked 11th on Christian support organization Open Doors 2018 World Watch list of countries where Christians experienced the most persecution, up from 15th the previous year, and ahead of Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, and Egypt. What's going on today? It was in yesteryear. It's not some long time ago. And whether they believe exactly like we do or not, they hold the name of Christ. They hold a profession to the name of Christ, and for that, they're being attacked, brutalized, and killed. And if they are saved, they are our brethren. Even if they don't follow the doctrine like we do, if they're saved, they're our brethren. And it would do us good to pray for them. Thank God we don't have to go through that. I thank God that we don't face that here. And I'm going to tell you, there's one reason why we don't face that here. And it is not that we have the freedom of religion. It's that we have the right to keep and bear arms. That's why we have the First Amendment, is because we have the Second Amendment. If we lose the Second Amendment, we'll be looking at that for us here. I'm just telling you. I want us to be prudent. The prudent man looketh well to his going. The prudent man looks farther down the road, doesn't just blinders on and I don't see anything happening. Everything looks great. The prudent man doesn't do that. The prudent man is vigilant, looking around and recognizing what's happening. And we better open our eyes. If this scares you, then maybe that's what you need. I'm not trying to scare people. I'm trying to just keep you alert and awake to the reality of what we're living in. I mean it with all my heart. that if the Second Amendment goes down, we will lose our other liberties. We will. They will be gone. We may have them for a time, just like, hey, in China, you know, the beginning of the year, they let them worship in their buildings. But then they said, we're tired of that. This is illegal. So when all these laws pass that they don't enforce, just remember, they're on the books. You see, but we're still allowed to, till they start enforcing it. We just need to be vigilant. We need to continue to preach the gospel. Thank God for the liberties we have and ask God to preserve them. To preserve them through legislation. Amen. That's how I want it preserved. I don't want the alternative. I do not. We do not. Pray that God raises up the right leaders that will, even if we don't agree with everything they say, that they will take the stand that they should. I mean, they'll be principled enough to take the stands that they should. Not tell us one thing and then go back on it. Don't just believe everything some politician tells you. Do not fall for that. What has your past proven? And where do you stand right now? That's it. And if they change on that, then I'm done with you. I'm done with you. Look, a lot of people put hope in President Trump that, well, you want the Second Amendment, you want to keep your guns, you better vote Trump. Okay, and I'm not trying to hurt people's feelings or anything, but I do want us to think about what is happening in our nation. He said all these great things about the Second Amendment when all his buildings are gun-free. He's been a New York Democrat all his life, but he said what people wanted to hear. And then, after the Parkland shooting, concerning the young man that did that horrible thing, he said, "We take their guns first, worry about due process later." That doesn't sound Second Amendment friendly to me. Some people, they come to this church and they say, "Man, this pastor shouldn't be talking politics like this." Do you know this is what got the revolution going in our nation? I'm not trying to start another revolution. I don't want to. I want to prevent that. I want to avoid that. But the Black Robe Regiment is what they were called. It was the preachers. That's how everyone got their news, was from the pulpit. This used to be normal and ordinary. See, as LBJ shut this down with the Johnson Amendment, which Trump also said he wanted to get rid of, it silenced pulpits on speaking on political things. Said, you can't have any part in legislation. You can't say anything for or against someone running for office. What if God says to? What if God says I need to stick my finger in his face and tell him, thou art the man? Then who do I listen to? Who do you listen to if God tells you to do that? Who do we listen to? Government or God? See, it always comes down to authority. Always. Just like in Ephesus, just like in Pergamos, I know where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Well, the authority coming from Satan's seat said, you can't do that. And Antipas, God's faithful martyr, said, you know, we're just going to keep doing it because God said. And there was consequences to pay, and there may be consequences for us to pay. But we got to love God. We got to follow God, and we got to be willing to, I love my Bible, and I'll die without it. Just like they were. All right, let's go ahead.